Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport from Wimbledon. My name is David Law. I'm joined by Catherine Whittaker, who this week is a colleague of mine on BBC Radio 5 Live. We are back together, Catherine, after you solo did the French Open podcast, after I was banished from all of the Queen's Aegon Championships ones. I'm back, Catherine Whittaker. You've been speaking to everybody under the sun. Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, John McEnroe, Victoria Azarenka, Petra Kvitova. We're going to be hearing from all of them here on this preview edition of the Tennis Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, David. Yes, nobody has escaped my clutches this week. I'm very pleased to report. We're going to hear from all of them on the podcast. They were all in very fine form. You'll note that I haven't spoken to Andy Murray. That's because he did his pre-tournament press just a few hours ago, and just a couple of hours after announcing that he and his wife Kim are expecting their second child, which is, I suspected that, David. I kept it to myself, but yes, I did.
Wow, why? How?
I saw Kim in the Players' Lounge at Queen's, and I thought she looked pregnant.
Blimey.
And I'm not a great secret keeper, so finally,
first I've heard.
Finally,
of it.
I've been able to say yes.
Right,
I was right.
Okay, well, news to me.
She was just wearing floaty clothes, and as a female, you don't usually see her in such floaty attire.
Right.
Anyway, there we go.
I'm going to be looking out for floaty clothes
in my new career as a detective.
Yeah.
Is only days away.
Wow. Catherine Whittaker and I are sitting overlooking Court 14 currently at Wimbledon. And more specifically, Catherine, just a few metres away from us, we can't even see him because there are so many bodies crowded around him just at the moment. But Mr. Novak Djokovic, fresh from Eastbourne, is sitting just behind Mats Wilander, who's got his back to us, preparing to do an interview for Eurosport. I think currently Novak is speaking to our colleague Russell Fuller for the BBC, an interview no doubt you'll be able to hear on 5 Live over the next 24 hours or so. But he is in a pretty good place suddenly, it feels, having made that decision to go to Eastbourne. That seems to have been a good one.
Yeah, Mats Wilander is currently obscuring my view of Novak Djokovic. That's as first world a problem as they come, isn't it? He looks very, very relaxed. He looks to have a nice tan, Novak Djokovic. Is he the first man ever to get a tan from a week in Eastbourne?
I think maybe he had a base tan before he turned up.
I think he likely did have a base tan. A fantastically good decision. I still find it a bizarre one. Still just the words Novak Djokovic in Eastbourne tickle me a bit. But yeah, a really great decision. He's won a tournament. He's got some confidence. Look, whether it turns out to be Wimbledon winning confidence very much remains to be seen. But it will have topped up his tank a little bit.
His canister.
His canister, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not his physical canister, but his mental canister will have been topped up just a little bit as a result of last week. And he did, but he played some decent opponents. I mean, the tournament organisers will have been beside themselves with the Djokovic-Monfils final, won't they?
No, they will have been absolutely chuffed to bits. And no, I saw that some of the final between him and Monfils, he was never really in any trouble at all. He certainly looks fresh again, which is the most important thing. The big question mark comes for Djokovic, and how many times this year have we said, I think that's it, I think he's back, I think he feels, it feels like he's himself again, and then he's run into somebody or he's run into a situation, a best of five or whatever it might have been. And I mean, the French Open is not that long ago when he suffered that horrible straight sets defeat and just looked a shadow of himself. So, you know, until he gets into the nitty-gritty of this tournament, we're not going to really know, are we? But I think this might be the turning point.
Yeah, I've decided that we need to stop thinking about it and analysing it in terms of him suddenly snapping back to where he was, something just clicking into gear. I don't think it's going to be like that
anymore. He's got a new coach, another new one, Mario Ancic.
Yeah, I mean, I like the sound of that. I still find it a little bit bizarre. I mean, he'll probably be great. Mario Ancic, great player, fantastic mind, fantastic thinker. It's still completely out of left field, though, isn't it? I hadn't heard his name mentioned in relation to coaching anybody, let alone Djokovic.
I like left field coaching appointments. I'm still hoping that maybe I'll get snapped up.
What I mean is, it's just all very left field, isn't it? A trip to Eastbourne, Mario Ancic is your coach. It's just all, he's really keeping us on our toes. We understand that Andre Agassi will be here this week. I still have my question marks over the formality of that agreement, over whether that really is a coaching relationship. You know, you're defending champion at the French Open, and you're essentially what some people have called tanking your way out of that match. Whether it was an actual tank, I don't know, but John McEnroe certainly accused him in that third set of tanking his way out of a quarter final. And your coach, your big name superstar coach, isn't there. I have my question marks about that whole relationship. I want it to be real. I want it to be the real deal, but
he's coming, isn't he?
He's coming.
He's coming. Old Andre. Apparently
we know
he's
coming because of how many sponsor commitments he's got lined up.
And he's been seen already on the practice courts next to Mario Ancic and Novak Djokovic, who has just given Mats Wilander a big hug, and they're about doing an interview just at the moment. And Catherine Whittaker, you have spent the last few days interviewing all sorts of people, as we said, because you've been here at Arangi Park, you've been there for Eurosport, getting interviews. Novak, obviously being in Eastbourne, is one of the few that you haven't spoken to. You have seen Roger Federer's arrival. You have been speaking to Roger Federer. Let's listen to it.
Roger, I remember you being asked before the Australian Open about being an underdog there, and you said you were quite relishing that prospect. You're not going to be an underdog at Wimbledon this year. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, things change very quickly, but no, I feel good that I'm healthy again. You know, that the last 5 months have been good ones, you know, where I didn't have any setbacks physically. So the goal was always to be at 100% when Wimbledon comes around, and I feel I am. So that's where I wanted to be. Then who is the favorite and who's not is secondary to me. Got to get through that first week somehow, because the grass plays very different the first week. It's different conditions. You don't know the draw yet as we speak. So it's a lot of the unknown. But look, I'm very excited.
I overheard Rafael Nadal this morning talking back to Sasha Zverev about how impressed he was with you in the Halle final. He's obviously threatened by your form on grass. Do you see him as your main rival?
Yeah, I mean, Andy, Rafa and Novak, you know, I think are the clear favourites to me, you know, because Rafa is coming off an unbelievable run with dominating clay again, and what he did at the French Open was just unreal. So, of course, he's going to come here with a lot of confidence. Yeah, okay, maybe he doesn't have the matches to back himself up here on the grass, but he's playing an exhibition tennis this week. He's practicing like he normally does in a big way, so he's gonna be very tough to beat here. And I think Novak's going to pick up his game eventually. You know, he's doing everything he can right now in Eastbourne. Whatever happens there happens, but he's going to be tough to beat here. And then once he gets rolling and he gets into the second week, then things are going to look very different around Novak, and also how you guys are going to speak about him maybe, or how the players are going to think about him. And the same thing for Andy. I think that first week is going to be really crucial for all four of us guys. And then behind us, there's a whole bunch of group, a great bunch of group of guys that I think can do great, great, great runs and results here at Wimbledon.
So there's Catherine talking to Roger Federer. I mean, he sounds in fantastic shape physically and mentally to me. I mean, you know, there's nothing to worry about with the guy, is there?
No, I mean, I've seen him have some slightly dodgy practices this week at
really?
Wimbledon. Yeah,
Why?
I have.
How?
Well, he showed up for the first time on Tuesday, and to be honest, it was a deeply wet and miserable day. He was booked into practice at 3 o'clock, only hit for 37 minutes of that, very, very gentle, and then I decided to leave the practice courts and go home for the evening, as far as I can tell. Mike went to the gym, but certainly didn't continue to practice after
that's
that.
That's my kind of practice.
Yeah, exactly. It was so spectacularly laid back. It was just so effortlessly Roger Federer. And then the next day, he had a slightly more rigorous hit, but nothing major. And then it was on Thursday that I saw him hitting down on court 14, one of the outside courts. They make the outside courts available for short practices to the top seeds here, and they tend to prefer to practice there because they play more like the courts that they'll be playing their matches on. So he hit on court 14, and he was shanking all over the place,
really?
Particularly on the backhand. But then I saw Rafael Nadal, who's been practicing like a beast all week. I know we'll hear from him and talk about him in a minute. Practicing like an animal. We're talking 4 or 5 hours a day, every day, and fantastic practices as well. I saw him out on court 14 yesterday morning, and he was having a pretty horrible practice as well. It was the first time I'd seen him really frustrated and down on himself all week. He actually hit a ball out in anger. And I saw him tossing his racket into his bag and just generally looking pretty frustrated with life. So it could all be court 14's fault and nothing to do with the players themselves. I have a feeling that neither Nadal nor Federer will be scheduled on court 14 throughout the fortnight.
Unless we
it's
have
just
really
a hunch.
Bad rain.
It's just a hunch.
I think you're probably all right. Well, if I have a bad podcasting day, I'm definitely blaming court 14.
Apparently, and I spoke to somebody next to the court who seemed to know a little bit more, or was certainly pretending to know a little bit more than me, and they said court 14 is a particularly soft court.
Right.
So it could be something to do with that. I mean, we're clutching at straws here, but yeah. There we go. But
court 14.
But certainly I've seen less of Federer practicing than anyone else, but he got those matches in Halle, so perhaps he just doesn't need to.
And you mentioned to Roger there about Rafa talking to Zverev about the form that he showed in that final. And also it's interesting to hear Federer talking about the rivals that he expects to have, that he expects it to be the usual suspect, one of which is Rafael Nadal. Catherine's been speaking to him as well, fresh from victory at Roland Garros, and Catherine asked him what he's been doing since then, how he reflects upon it.
Rafa, this is the first time we've seen you since Paris a few weeks ago. How long did you give yourself to appreciate and enjoy that experience and that achievement before focusing your attention here?
Yeah, it was... of course, after a couple of months playing with a lot of emotions, playing a lot of matches, obviously I needed a couple of days, not to, your body goes down and you need to rest, you need to stay a little bit with your people, and that's what I did. So very happy about what happened, obviously, but at the same time, in our sport, there is not much time to relax and to rest. You know? So I take a couple of days, but I start working again, and, Wimbledon is so important for me too, so I wanted to be ready for it, and I think I tried the best things possible to be ready.
You've been practicing so hard this week. Is that a real sign of your intent to reclaim the title here?
I don't know. No, I have been working hard, a minimum 3 hours per day, and that's my goal. Try to be competitive from the beginning of the tournament. No, I know the first round, second round, if you are able to be through in the first, going to be so dangerous. No, for me, I have been out of the tournament very soon, a couple of times on the last couple of years. I didn't play a match here for a couple of years. So going to be very dangerous the beginning of the tournament, and I need to be ready. I have been playing well since the beginning of the season. That's true, no? But at the same time, it's true that here the shoot phrase is completely different. No, and as I said before, no, I can use this confidence if I'm able to be through at the beginning. But first match, and anything can happen. So I need to be ready to accept all the challenges that are gonna present me, and just try to be ready to compete with the highest. Motivation possible and the best attitude.
So Nadal doesn't give much away, does he? It's a very different type of interview. Always is, isn't it, to the one that Federer gives?
Said quite a lot without giving anything much away. Ever so charming, really a real delight to interview. But yeah, you come away from it and you think, oh, he's said a lot there. And then you sort of replay it in your mind and you realise he's just... been delightful without giving you anything at all, which is a real skill, actually, one that he's been honing for the last, 15 years or so of being on tour. I found it interesting how quickly he said he turned his mind to Wimbledon. I know he spent some days fishing, and I'm pleased that he allowed himself at least a few days to appreciate what he achieved in Paris in the French Open. And I've said, I think that's something that Djokovic has struggled with since winning in Paris last year. There was no time to reflect upon it at all. Before he knew it, he was here at Wimbledon having to defend another title. You know, there's no time to just sit back and appreciate what you've done. You're constantly having to achieve the next thing and then getting no time to appreciate that next thing either. So
yet,
I'm pleased.
I don't think the motivation is going to be an issue for Nadal at all. I think he is up for this big time. I think
I can confirm he's up for it big time.
The problem is the court surface and the transition, really.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been playing without the knee supports. We've seen him with knee supports in all previous years at Wimbledon. Of course, we didn't see him here last year. Look, we both talk a lot on the podcast about how we think people read too much into practice. I can't tell you necessarily how brilliantly he's striking the ball. I mean, he's striking the ball brilliantly. He's Rafael Nadal.
And he's a tennis player for a living.
Exactly.
Who's like the best
I can tell you everyone's been striking the ball brilliantly.
Yeah.
But he certainly looked hungry as anything, fantastically motivated and so businesslike. You know, when you spend a lot of time at Arangi, the practice court complex, as I have done this week, you realise how different players are in practice, how lots of them are really light-hearted on the practice court, really doing joking around with their teams and trying to keep it light and upbeat. Rafael Nadal is so serious and businesslike. You know, as soon as he comes off the court, he might do some laughing and joking with Uncle Tony or with Benito, his agent, but on the court, absolutely none of it. It is all business. One thing, interestingly, that I really wanted to have the chance to ask him about in my interview with him but didn't have the chance because he was so fantastically in demand, understandably so, Carlos Moya, not here with him this fortnight and isn't going to be with him this fortnight. Nadal confirmed that to me himself. I don't believe there's anything much to read into it other than that Carlos Moya doesn't know that much about winning Wimbledon and feels that he'd be better off spending some time with his family, perhaps.
Yeah, well, you could understand that, couldn't you? One person we haven't spoken to, or you haven't spoken to, is Andy Murray, because, as you said, he hadn't spoken to the media when you were down here for Eurosport. He has since confirmed that he is fit to play, that the hip problem that he's been reporting and forced him out of a couple of exhibitions.
He's barely been reporting it. It's us lot that have been reporting it.
We've been stalking him, haven't we?
Well, if you think we've been stalking, did you see that Sun front page earlier this week, David?
I did see that, yeah.
There was actually a front, for any non-British people listening, you'll think this is utter madness, but this is what
we
tabloid newspapers do in this country. Yeah, but there was a picture of Andy Murray showcasing his hip, his injured hip. He didn't even say injured, did he? He just said sore. That's all he said. I've got a sore hip. And we know these guys are sort of sore everywhere. They're generally just sore. But anyway, he said, I've got a sore hip, pulled out of a scheduled exhibition match at the Hurlingham Club and subsequently pulled out from the rescheduled match on Friday as well, and had a couple of days off from the practice court. But they showed him on the front page, circled his hip, and a well-known, he was described as a faith healer, Uri Geller, encouraged the nation to rub the image of Andy Murray's hip at precisely 3:40 p.m. that day to bring him good vibes. And apparently this was something that was done back in 2002 prior to the World Cup in Japan and South Korea regarding David Beckham's broken metatarsal.
Yeah.
And didn't we go out unceremoniously to Brazil that year?
I think so,
with a Ronaldinho
quarterfinals
free kick that wasn't a shot on goal. Anyway, that is the extent of the lunacy surrounding Andy Murray's sore hip this
gate.
Week.
Yeah.
I mean, every day I've been doing pieces to camera reporting on Andy Murray's hip. I feel it's a bit intrusive. Leave his hip alone.
Tell you what, should we find out what John McEnroe makes of it all?
Well, first of all, that was an exhibition, right? So that doesn't mean anything. So I think it's that falls under the category of better safe than sorry. But I would be absolutely amazed if he didn't play, unless he's done something in the last couple of days that I'm unaware of that's serious. But I think at this point, if you're feeling a little stiff or sore, you don't want to go out and risk anything unnecessarily when you get to go on the center court of Wimbledon as a defending champion.
And with Murray potentially not 100%, who do you see as the favorites?
Well, I see Roger as a favorite. I mean, Roger's had an unbelievable year. I mean, what he did at Australia was one of the great accomplishments that I've seen in tennis ever, as long as I've ever watched it. And it seems tough to top, but if anyone could do it, it'd be him. But I'm assuming, based on my somewhat fairly decent knowledge of tennis, that there should be some hungry guys, not the top four, because we all assume, myself included, that one of those guys is going to win it, even though some of these guys have been struggling. But there's other guys that could step up and you know, really establish themselves. So there's a lot of reason to be hope that that will happen.
So John McEnroe there, in dismissing the idea that missing the odd exhibition is going to be a problem, but very clearly believing that Roger Federer is the favourite for this title. What do you think? Who have you picked to win it?
I've picked Roger Federer to win it. I think he's absolutely the bookies' favourite to win it. I think he's loving being the favourite, as much as we saw him relishing being the underdog in Australia, or claiming to relish it. You know, there was that wonderful line saying, "It's a great draw just because I'm in the draw." I think here he's relishing being the favourite again. I really, really do. For him, it must feel like just being back precisely where he belongs. I think to completely dismiss the Andy Murray hip soreness is a step too far, and certainly to dismiss how undercooked he is going
I'm concerned about it for, on his behalf. I mean, he has been limping around. I remember him limping around at Queen's. He just doesn't feel quite right to me. Now, that may all change. He may, as we saw at the French Open, just get rolling, and there's enough time. There's, you know, you're talking about best of five set matches. You're talking about 2 weeks. It may be enough to get sorted, but I don't know. I have my doubts.
Yeah, I have my doubts too. Look, in terms of his demeanour during practice, they've been better than those pre-French Open practices when I was, you know, pretty horrified by what I saw, particularly on that one practice out on Suzanne Longlen court. They've certainly been better than that. He's been grimacing, but, you know, that's pretty normal for Andy Murray to do.
He's the hardest man to read in tennis,
isn't
he?
And as he enters the practice court and leaves, he's looked spectacularly relaxed, really, really sunny in his demeanour. And then he steps on the court and starts grimacing, particularly as he stretches out for his backhand, and all suddenly doesn't look well. And he was, I think it was on Monday that we were watching his practice, and he was having to push himself off the floor with his racket. You know, he couldn't stand up unaided. He was using his racket as a walking stick. So I just don't know. I think to dismiss it altogether as a factor is silly. I think it is a concern. I don't think it's the level of concern of requiring a faith healer. I'm not sure anything ever is.
No, fair point. I'm going to go and have a cup of tea, and then let's just talk about the women's draw.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Right, replenished, Tihad. That's what you have to do in this country, isn't it, Catherine Whittaker? Now, the women's draw is just fascinating, isn't it? And it is headlined by the two people we're going to hear from in this edition of the Tennis Podcast here at Wimbledon. Catherine has been speaking to Victoria Azarenka. And first, a very warm welcome back to Petra Kvitova.
Petra, it is so wonderful to see you here at the WTA party and at Wimbledon in general. Is it a special feeling for you as well?
It is a very special feeling for me. I'm a bit emotional sometimes, so it's amazing to be here. When that happened, I was always trying to be here for Wimbledon in that right time, and now even I already played a few events before, so it's much more special for me right now.
Exactly, you're coming in here as the champion from Birmingham. How much did that exceed your expectations for your comeback?
Well, not really. I mean, I have no expectation. I just came to play, to have more matches I can. But on the other hand, I'm not setting any goals to be far in tournament or whatever. I'm just here in the moment and just playing match by match.
We have quite a lot of players in tennis at the moment making comebacks of various types. Yours is obviously very individual. Do you feel like a different person? Do you feel like this is a second phase of your career?
Yeah, I do. I call it as my second career after my comeback. Yeah, I do feel a different person as well. I think I'm more mature, more grateful for everything that's happening in the day, for example. And I'm seeing the tennis a little bit different as well.
And dare you think about what you might be capable of over the next fortnight, or is it just match by match and enjoying being here?
Yeah, it's just enjoying to be back in Olin Club, which I do have the best memories from my career, and I really enjoy everything, and I will really looking forward to come back on the court and play in Wimbledon again.
We are so enjoying seeing you back, Petra. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Just nice to have her back, Catherine.
Yeah, it's just so, you get a warm, fuzzy feeling speaking to her. There's just this glow around her. I still can't believe any of it. I can't believe she's coming here as the Birmingham champion. I can't believe she's playing tennis still not with full sensation in her racket hand. I can't believe that. I can't believe she had that extensive a surgery
that she was stabbed
on her
effectively
hand,
6 months ago.
I didn't think she'd be back. I really didn't think she'd be back playing to any kind of level. I thought she might attempt to come back. I did not in my wildest dreams envisage this, and it's, I don't know, it feels sort of rare in the world at the moment that things surprise you for the better. Everything always turns out to be so much worse than you fear, and this is something that's turned out to be so, so much better. I have my doubt. I think people are perhaps getting a bit carried away about her winning it here, in all honesty, but
I'm picking her to win it. I haven't even looked at the draw yet.
Oh, well, I think David Law's getting a bit carried away about her winning the thing. Are you really picking her to win it?
Well, hold on. I've still got about 12 to 16 hours left to make my predictions before the start of play. So I've got to finalise those. But as things stand, I'm probably going to be picking Petra Kvitova for the title.
Interesting one there. I've not got her in my quarterfinals, which doesn't feel right. But do you know what? I cannot tell you how difficult I found them particularly difficult in both the men's and the women's, but the women's, I've got Ostapenko in the semi-finals. I don't know why. I'm not sure I really think Ostapenko's making the semi-finals.
Is that Joe Konta in your final?
I've got Joe Konta in the final. The thing is, I did it by going through the draw and going through individual matches and seeing who I thought would come through. I didn't start off thinking, right, I think Joe Konta's going to make the final, but then I've gone through the matches and that's what I've come out with, but it, I don't know. It doesn't feel right. I've submitted them now.
You have. Well, you can't go back now. Well, you actually can. You've got about 16
hours
to go back.
It's all a bit of a shot in the dark, isn't it? We were just at our
not for me
pre-tournament Five Live briefing, and there was a really well-explained point from the editor about the stories on the women's side and encouraging us to bring those stories and highlight them and explain them to an audience that perhaps isn't aware of them. You know, the audience will be aware of Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova and they'll go, huh, they're not there. Who's this Simona Halep that keeps losing in French Open finals? Why should I be interested in her? Who's this Yelena Ostapenko? Why have I never heard of her? You know, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, she's still around, you know. There are great stories in this draw and they deserve to be told. Which one of them's going to come out on top? I haven't a clue.
No, it's fascinating. Well, another person I can see on your draw grid there is Victoria Azarenka. Another of the people that Catherine has been speaking to and asking about what it is like to be back with her son Leo in tow.
I missed the competition, but it was a good reason for me to miss the Wimbledon last year, and I'm happy to be back and continue to do what I love to do and alongside with my son. So it's really fun, and I'm happy to be back. You know, get some practice days this week, and continue to go for it.
We've seen you down at the practice courts. Your son Leo has been alongside, kind of watching. Does it feel like a completely different experience being on the tour with him here?
Well, in a way, yes. You know, anything in between practice, it feels different. Obviously, you know, bringing him to the side and him watching, but on the court, it still feels the same to me. I still, you know, work hard and still focus, so that part didn't change, but it's just more fun after the practice then and after the matches.
And in terms of the tennis and your comeback, do you set yourself goals or is it just about taking it one match at a time at this early stage?
Well, I definitely have goals, but always taking one match at a time, because it's long 2 weeks, anything can happen, and you know, so we just have to always stay present, stay focused, and throughout 2 weeks it's not easy, so I know that feeling, and I just want to enjoy to play, enjoy to fight, enjoy to work hard.
Can I ask what the goals are here at Wimbledon?
Well, the goals are always to win, and then, you know, see what happens.
Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
So Victoria Azarenka back as well. I don't think she is a contender for this title. I think it's going to take her a bit longer. The grass has never been her favourite surface, I don't think. I think she could be a real contender come the US Open.
I've got her losing in the quarterfinals to Jo Konta. Again, I don't feel fantastically confident about that. I think she's undercooked. She's certainly downplaying expectations in a way that Petra Kvitova isn't here. I think given what happened in Mallorca, yes, she won a match and she didn't play horribly, but she knows she's rusty. It's been a glorious sight to see her on the practice court. She's had her baby son Leo out watching her most days. He's been sat, what I say watching, I suspect his attention span isn't yet sufficient to actually just sit and watch it all, but he's been there courtside for all of her practices, which has been really nice. Also, I can report she's a fan of the Putney Exchange, David.
Is she a fan of the podcast?
I saw her in the Putney Exchange.
Really?
She might have just been doing a tennis podcast tourist trail.
Well, probably. Let's be honest, that's what most people do, really. If they've heard of the Putney Exchange, it's because of us.
There she was with her boyfriend, with the baby, looking as normal as anything, with their shopping bags, in the Putney Exchange. It was a lovely sight.
Ah. Fantastic. Right, well, Catherine Whittaker, I know we've got lots more to talk about. We're not going to do it in this particular edition because I've got to go and talk on the radio. I've got to go and hobnob on the players' lawn. So we'll get into all the other subjects that we need to cover. We'll talk about the rest of the draw in our daily show here from Wimbledon. And hold on a minute. Catherine Whittaker is alerting my attention to something.
Well, no, I'm asking if you've got 5 minutes, Dave, because I feel like we should at least mention the order of play for the first
day. Oh, go on then. Order of play.
Well, of course, it's Andy Murray kicking things off against Alexander Bublik. Have you got time for me to tell you a little story about Alexander Bublik?
Quickly.
And what a fantastically confident human being he is.
Do.
He was playing final round of qualies, which he actually lost, but ended up getting in as a lucky loser. And he was down, it was a set and a break up. And because it looked like he was going to qualify, the camera crews went down there to get some footage of him for the coverage. As soon as he saw a camera crew there, he tried to hit three tweeners in three consecutive points. And he started showboating like you would not believe, looking over at the camera after every single shot. What he's going to be like on centre court tomorrow, I can not imagine. He's certainly not going to be cowed by the occasion.
Yeah, there's a great piece in the Telegraph talking about what he's like reporting his press conference, which apparently went on for 18 minutes. It was just a little chat before his first match against Andy Murray. And he was saying, you know, I don't go in with a strategy. I don't believe in that. I just play how I feel. You know, whatever comes, comes.
He's a confident chap.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. He's a real breath of fresh air. He's very interesting.
He asked Andy Murray, do I call you sir? He actually said that on camera to Andy Murray. And Andy goes,
oh, they did an interview. He interviewed Andy Murray for the ATP World Tour website. It's worth looking at, actually. It's really, really good. Johanna Larsson against Petra Kvitova. If you've got her winning the title, I guess you've got her winning that. Daniil Medvedev against Stan Wawrinka. That's a shocking draw for Stan Wawrinka, I'd say.
Yeah, that's not the best. He did well at Queens.
Venus Williams opening up court one. Love that. Rafael Nadal out on court one. John Millman. I think he's going to eat John Millman for breakfast. And then Joe Konta against Su Wei Shea. I know I've picked her to reach the final, but I really think that could be very tricky indeed for her.
Right, so Catherine Whittaker, covering her a bet.
I'm more in desperate trouble with my predictions. Out on court two, Songa against Cameron Norrie.
Nick Kyrgios,
Simona Halep, Marin Cilic.
Yeah,
I'm getting to that, David.
Court three.
I'm worried for Nick.
Well, hold on. Hebert had to pull out of Queens with an injury, so that might help him.
So did Kyrgios.
That's also true. It's so exciting.
A limp towards the finish line. I also just want to quickly draw attention to Ash Barty and Alina Svitolina, because I think Svitolina might go out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
she's still struggling with that foot, and Ash Barty is a fantastic grass court player and in great form.
Great form. Right, we've got to go. I've got to go. I've got to go on the radio. So we have been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. We'll be back every single day during Wimbledon. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that sort of nonsense.
David's taken like 8 Tennis Podcast selfies already today.
Yes, and you're going to be seeing them. You can also get Tennis Podcast merchandise courtesy of the Tennis Podcast shop. Catherine Whittaker has just spent all of her year's income on it.
Kitting out the Whittaker family Tennis Podcast merch.
But that's about it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Speak to you then.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.